60 years ago this year, the United States government actually placed comics on trial in Senate subcommittee hearings around a moral panic that said that comics were a leading cause of juvenile delinquency. And when you look back at that history, you see that it mirrors what's happened with video games, heavy metal, and other aspects of popular culture in recent years.
Hi, I'm Tracy Oppenheimer for Reason TV, and today we're here at Comic-Con in San Diego, and we're with Charles Brownstein. He's the executive director of the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, and he's here at Comic-Con to talk about banned comics and censorship. Charles, thanks for talking with us
today. Thank you for making the time.
So first off, can you talk about censorship in the comic book industry and the prevalence of these challenges to certain comics today?
Absolutely. This year, we look back on 2013, where the 10th most challenged book in the United States was the graphic novel series Bone, and the most challenged book in the United States was Captain Underpants by Dave Pilkey. And so the books kids are reading in their leisure hours are the objects of censorship. And what we're seeing in the recent years is that as comics become a more meaningful part of the popular culture, they're also becoming a more meaningful part of libraries, bookstores, and other venues where they haven't traditionally had much purchase. And in those environments, there is a lot of move to ban, challenge, or otherwise exclude content on a content restrictive basis.
So do you think that comic books are being disproportionately challenged to other works?
I think that the challenges to comics and graphic novels is growing in direct proportion to their prominence in the larger culture. And so I wouldn't say that comic books are being challenged with greater frequency with other works. However, comic books are being challenged with greater frequency than they ever have been. They are showing up on the list more frequently, and we are still fighting age-old stigmas that comics are low-value speech and that they don't have a place in proper education, which obviously any reader of Mouse or Persepolis or, you know, any number of the great graphic novels will go, well, that's utter hogwash. Any person that's watching popular culture, whether it's The Walking Dead or, you know, the lineup on the CW, will know that comics were the source material for a lot of this stuff and that the literary has a lot of value.
You said this earlier that it was comics, now it's video games. Can you talk about how it's not just the format that we're always going to have these displays?
There's a history of moral panic in the United States, particularly against new media. And so in 1915, the U.S. Supreme Court famously issued a ruling saying that motion pictures were not protected by the First Amendment because they had, quote, a capacity to do evil. And that case, that precedent lasted until the early 1950s when they overturned it and said, yes, this is protected by the First Amendment. The comic book field, when juvenile delinquency was a rising problem post-World War II, when we had the teenager as a new social concern, were blamed for making kids delinquent. And so, you know, you see through history, when something new comes out that gains popular purchase with young people, there's always a group that wants to restrict the material because it's going to be the end of the world. And to a certain degree, young people's job is to horrify their elders. And so there's always going to be something new that comes out that is different and horrifying. When I was growing up, it was, you know, my parents didn't know why I was listening to Slayer. When, you know, kids growing up these days, you know, are playing video games with a certain amount of violence in it, it's, well, oh my God, what kind of headspace are you inhabiting? But the truth is, if you look back historically, the kids are generally okay.
When I was looking over your site, I found the bit on the Comics Code Authority, and that sounds like something out of 1984. Can you just talk about that a little
bit? Sure. The Comics Code Authority was formed by the comics industry because, fearing government censorship, they created a self-censorship body. And this led to two things: a stigma that comics were only suitable for the youngest or dimmest of readers, and that endured for many years. And it also sanitized the content of the industry so that previously our readership included, yes, young children, but also teenagers and young adults. You know, comics were a quarter of the printed matter going to post exchanges during World War II. So a lot of people in their 20s were reading this material as well. And it went from being a mass media that spoke to a wide range of audiences to being a dwindling media that spoke to a narrow range, a very young range of audiences. And that took more than 40 years, 50 years to recover, and it recovered because of environments like this, like Comic-Con, where material was made by and for fans, and where the industry was able to create alternative distribution methods that allowed them to work without the Comics Code strictures.
Was it because you had to actually have your comics published and the publishers were subject to the authority?
So in the 1950s through the 1980s, comics publishers were a segment of the magazine business, and so there wasn't the range of self-publishing options or alternative publishing options we have today. To be distributed, you had to go through the newsstand environment. And so because the moral panic was that comics were bad for young folks, the Comics Code Authority seal was designed to reassure news agents and communities that this material had been vetted and was inoffensive and was unlikely to be harmful to audiences. And so it was a distribution obligation to an extent, and it was something that the publishers voluntarily submitted to.
Can you just talk about Banned Books Week a little bit more and what you guys are doing?
Absolutely. Banned Books Week is the annual celebration of the freedom to read, and this year the theme is comic books. And so if you go to cbldf.org, you will see a variety of tools that we have created, including a Banned Books Week handbook for library patrons and community members. We have discussion guides for more than 30 banned or challenged comics, so you can create your own discussions in your community. So it's really just an opportunity for readers everywhere to come out and celebrate the freedom that they have to access the content that is guaranteed to us by the First Amendment.
Yeah, thanks again, Charles.
Thank you, my pleasure.
For Reason TV, I'm Tracy Oppenheimer.